Welcome to Movie Lovers Unite, the podcast that celebrates the magic of cinema and brings fellow movie enthusiasts together. Join John and Rossi, delve into the world of films, discussing everything from timeless classics to the latest blockbusters. With our passion, shared insightful reviews, engaging discussions, behind-the-scenes insights, and exclusive interviews with filmmakers and actors, whether you're a casual viewer or a dedicated cinephile, Movie Lovers Unite is your go-to destination. Lights, camera, podcast.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, everybody. Mark here. This sidetrack is a conversation we've been talking about for many, many episodes. This is a conversation about whether it's okay to like problematic artists, or what you do about music you really like when the artist does something really bad or is accused of doing something really bad. There's a lot of hemming and hawing in this conversation, and neither of us claim to really have any answers at all, whether it's about the specific cases of the artists we talk about or just about this issue in general. So I'll just say this, we're trying, we're doing the best we can. I hope you enjoy this conversation, take something from it. Feel free to disagree with us. If you have great insight, please share it. Would love to hear it. So we talked about the idea of maybe having a conversation about liking problematic things. It came up when we were talking about Lizzo. It came up when we were talking about Drake. And these are, we're not talking R. Kelly here. These are less crazy infractions, I'm hoping. But honestly, like, I'm a little wary of having the conversation because we got to talk about Michael Jackson.
And you love Michael Jackson.
I love the music of Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I am convinced now that Michael Jackson is a monster. Around when
The documentary came out
with two former victims, alleged former victims of MJ, really coming out and sharing their story. I watched that and I found it extremely convincing. And it created, obviously, horror at what they're alleging, but two really awful sort of dissonances within me. One, what we're not necessarily going to talk about now, but the, oh, I always kind of knew.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't that trigger? Because there literally were, decades before, suits alleging these exact things. And the fact that I, in an earlier era, had kind of lulled myself into this sense of, oh yeah, maybe Michael Jackson did do these things, but he was, I kind of rationalized that he was this kind of man child. Like, oh, sure. Well, he's not really sexual. He's just kind of this guy. He's this boy who kind of never grew up because his parents.
Like a Peter Pan vibe.
Peter Pan, exactly. And I know he cultivated that. And that's an argument that that documentary makes.
Was like grooming.
So yeah. I'm toyed with, right. Well, yeah. I mean, that it's recontextualized. Whereas previously I was like, oh, you hear of these stories of him sitting with a kid on his lap while he's filming
this video. And not to say in his defense, but that makes sense because you think of him as a character. He did have like a robbed childhood.
That's right.
He was like a personified as an adult earlier than he should have been developmentally. And like that does have lingering effects on a human. So
totally.
So it makes sense. Like it isn't that obtuse to say like, oh, he was trying to relive his youth.
But then I look back and I'm like, was me and everybody else leaning on that rational explanation because it was also really convenient, which leads me to the other problem I was having in that moment, whenever the few years ago this came out.
2019.
Which was music that I grew up with, that I learned so much from, that I love. I have lesson plans in my college classes for songwriting, for everything, music production, where I bring in, hey, everybody, let's talk about upper structures. Here's Rock with you. Okay, hey, everybody, let's talk about key changes. Let's talk about this song. Like, I lean on it a lot.
Do your students push back?
No, not usually.
Yeah.
But because this thing that I love now feels disgusting to me. Mm-hmm. So I indoctrinate my children in music that I think is good. My children listen to mostly stuff that I have curated when we're in the car, right?
Yeah.
And they inform what we're listening to, but I'm also like, you all need to learn the Beatles. Here are the Beatles. Mm-hmm. You all should listen to the Beach Boys. And it's all happens to be things that are also child friendly. I'm not yet, you all need to listen to Rancid or whatever. Like, I'm not going there yet, right? But Michael Jackson was in the mix of that. Mm-hmm. We were listening to not every album of his, but all of his sort of mainstream albums, starting with the late 70s, not mainstream, but like the iconic ones. And I just stopped. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, like when I had that moment where my oldest kid is like, oh, dad, John Lennon's dead. What happened? And I have to tell him someone murdered him. I don't really want to have the conversation yet about why Michael Jackson is what's going on. And so basically, it created this massive question. And not to rant too long, I'm sorry, but you asked, did my students push back? Yeah. And the answer is no, because as soon as I saw that, sometimes less often, but I will still use Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But I start this massive caveat every time. And I'm like, students, I recognize that probably this man was a monster. And so the reason I've been wary of talking about this on the podcast is because I feel pretty sure that this is some of the best music written in the last 100 years and recorded. But I also feel pretty sure that in some very key ways, this man was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that many people out there, I don't know if it's a minority or a majority at this point, will vehemently disagree with me and think that I am just the worst hack for even saying that. And so it feels very toxic to bring this up.
Yeah, I can understand. But I think a lot of people feel this way specifically about Michael Jackson.
I don't think there's a lot of R. Kelly defenders anymore, right?
No, I mean, R. Kelly, but even still, I can hear I Believe I Can Fly and get inspired by it. Just the way that the song is written, it feels inspiring because I'm capable, and you are too, and most adults are, capable of dichotomous thinking, that you can hold two conflicting beliefs inside yourself and still make peace with it. I know Michael Jackson's music got a lot easier for me to listen to once he died. The day that he died, I was at I think I was at like a club. Actually, I know where I was, but I'm not going to say it on the radio. But I was at a place where you dance.
Okay. No free advertising club.
No,
sorry.
No. So I remember when Michael Jackson died, I was at a place that was playing his music, and it felt very freeing to be able to dance to his music in that moment in a way that only made sense because he had just died. And that sound makes me feel like a monster. But once he passed away, I was able to enjoy his music again.
This is because of the things that you already had been convinced of these things before. Okay, so it felt okay to you because he was no longer a threat?
Kind of, yeah. And I think that I actualized around Michael Jackson what I believe to be the truth about him before you did.
Right. Well, because I was hiding behind the other explanations.
Yeah. For sure. And that makes sense to do because you idolized him and you didn't want to take him off this pedestal. But then when you saw that documentary and you saw like the secret bed up in the attic, like, ooh, that really lowers you.
Well, right? And it's just there's no focus on the victims, right? If I'm focusing on, well, he's just this boy, man, child or whatever. He's just Peter Pan. Like, what about the consequences for other people?
Sure.
Right.
I was ignoring that. And you would know probably. Did Michael Jackson write his own music?
Sometimes.
The lyric, so, music and lyrics.
It's a mix.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of collaborators.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of, like, when I'm talking about a song I'll bring up in class sometimes, and I make this caveat, probably Michael Jackson did these terrible things, but this is a songwriting class, and we're talking about a song written by Rod Temperton, produced by Quincy Jones. And really what I'm talking about is the vocal harmony layering and the chord progression that are not probably the result of Michael Jackson.
So in some ways, you could say, I'm not going to. But someone could make the argument that Michael Jackson was a victim in his own right, too, because he was definitely as a child. But even as an adult, you could have had Quincy Jones and whoever that other guy was write a song and put it in the pocket of someone else to record and produce and make money off of, but they didn't. They made the choice to put it in the hands of Michael Jackson because it was Michael Jackson. So my point of view is maybe Michael Jackson was a monster, but maybe all these other people that endorsed and supported him, they, you know, they had to have known or had suspicions about what was going on behind the scenes with this dude, and they enabled him. So, and that's messed up too.
It's wild. So like I'm rationalizing to my students, okay, well, we can celebrate this song because it uses these other people. And you're like suggesting that maybe the opposite is true, that these people are enablers and they should know better. They maybe didn't have the same psychological, not that Michael Jackson isn't accountable for choices he made, but like they didn't have the same psychological state leading them. They knowingly were working with someone they probably knew, but they thought they were going to, you know, get rich or whatever. And obviously when we're talking Quincy Jones, we're talking Thriller. I mean, that's so long ago. Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
We're talking, but after the early 1990s trials, right? Anybody recording with him in the late 90s, it's hard to think.
It's criminal.
You wouldn't at least know.
I think anyone that knows of child abuse that's happening and doesn't do anything about it is criminal. That's my opinion.
I mean, it literally is true. I mean, you've been a mandate. Have you ever worked K-12? Like,
you're a mandated reporter.
Mandated reporter.
Right? For sure. But yeah, that's how I feel. Like all of these songwriting partners that Michael Jackson had, or anyone. I mean, just even lifted off of him, anyone. I mean, people that were working with any problematic individual that didn't say anything, I think they need to be found at fault as well.
Culpable in some regard.
For sure.
I mean, that's really sticky. I mean, because then you could go to the, okay, well, his family also, right? Because his family are denying these allegations and accusing people of being, I don't know, like dishonest or whatever about them. Are they culpable too? And, you know, at a certain point, it's difficult to really like...
Where's the line?
I don't know. Because we wanted to talk about liking problematic things.
Sure.
And I started with Michael Jackson as the reason I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because... my own sort of cowardly fear of blowback of people who you started to say something and I think I cut you off that sounded like you were offering another take on that, because I do feel like as much as there aren't going to be as many Bill Cosby defenders out there or whatever, there are a lot of people that seem to be extremely unconvinced by
Michael Jackson's
allegations against him. And I think part of that has to do with his level of stardom.
Yeah.
And not that I'm afraid of them. It's just like,
you just don't want to deal with it.
Do I want to deal with it?
No, I support not dealing with it. And I think that the thing about people is if you think one way, this podcast isn't going to change your mind, right? No one's going to listen to this and be like, you know what? Actually, those two folks have a point. Like maybe Michael Jackson was a monster. Maybe I should surrender all his music. No, they're going to affirm and root in their pre-existing beliefs. Like that's what we do. We look for confirmation of our own biases for sure. Anyone that believes Michael Jackson isn't a child molester is going to look at that documentary and poke holes in it and say, like, see, these are things that support my case because
there probably are holes in it, right?
It's created by people. You know? It's all hearsay. He's dead.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't have DNA testing. We can't go and look at that mattress and pull DNA from it. I mean, probably could, but my guess is that's all destroyed.
Yeah.
It's my guess. So... it really is just speculation and it's salacious and juicy and we're monsters in that we're so thirsty for it. We're so thirsty to know all the details about like what he may or may not have done to these little kids because it takes an icon off their pedestal. And some people really get off on that. Right? And some people want to keep them in their halo. You know, there's something called the halo effect that we believe that if you make good music, you have to be a good person. Right. You have this, you can't do anything wrong. But humans are nuanced. Humans are three-dimensional. And I think Michael Jackson, when you look at him as a case study, becomes very, very intriguing about his family structure, his relationship with his father, his relationship with his siblings, how he was put in the spotlight of stardom. When you think about the body dysmorphia that he exhibited, which when you see footage of him saying he never had plastic surgery and that it's all made up, like that can't. It just can't be true.
Right.
Right. So clinically, like Michael Jackson's a very interesting human and it's no surprise that he would have some problematic presentations around gender and sex and adolescence and juveniles. Like that textbook makes sense that he would. And I can think he's a monster and still really enjoy his music.
Yeah.
Like Man in the Mirror is my pump up jam. That's my teaching pump up song.
Yeah.
And that feels gross.
It feels gross. And it's, Man in the Mirror, yeah. I like Man in the Mirror, but man, there's so many good songs on that album. Bad is so good. So I think just in general, I mean, this is everywhere, but I think something about some of these more recent people, like I wasn't super, I never saw Space Jam, although I just, I did just see Space Jam, the new one with
Space
my kids.
Space Jam? What are you, where are you going with Space Jam? Who's problematic?
I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh, I Believe I Can Fly.
I was not super into R. Kelly back when R. Kelly came out. And so it was easy for me to just be like, wow, that guy sounds like a weirdo when that stuff first came out. And then when he's convicted and it's like, oh yeah, that guy's awful.
Dude, that documentary was crazy.
So some people though might be super into him and emotionally tied, because I think what makes Michael Jackson so significant and worth talking about in this context is that he's this larger than life cultural figure. Whereas when you think of, let's put on our classical music history hat for a second.
Okay.
There's two kind of easy go-tos. Carlo Gesualdo. Really haunting, surprisingly chromatic Renaissance vocal music, murdered his entire family.
Ooh, hot.
But we have so much separation from that moment that you can almost talk about it like it's a comic book character.
Yes.
Or, hey y'all, Mark chiming in here during the editing process. I've checked my facts. My bad. Carlo Gesualdo, not totally vindicated, but he did not kill his entire family. He killed his wife and her lover when he caught them in the act. So maybe a little more relatable. However, he did apparently mutilate their corpses. So yeah, I think the point still stands. You know, even Richard Wagner, you know, Wagner, dum bum 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 bum, right?
Yeah.
So Ride of Valkyries, lots of opera stuff. That's right. You got it.
Nice.
Terrifyingly anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
To the point that he's writing manifestos about it.
Yikes.
To the point that what music do the Nazis embrace as their theme songs? Some of it's Beethoven, which, sorry, Beethoven, but also a lot of Wagner. Because I think there was something about his anti-Semitism that Hitler and his homies thought was super German. We're trying to prop up. And also, he writes all this. These operas are very pro-German nationalism.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So there's all this music that
people
love.
But what about Looney Tunes? Is it still, that's how I know it. From Looney Tunes.
From Looney Tunes?
From Bugs Bunny.
Looney Tunes probably is problematic in other ways, but also I love Looney Tunes. But
did they take this out?
Oh, I'm sure not.
Right? And that's the thing,
but,
right?
But I think that's my point. Now, anti-Semitism is, of course, alive and well. The Holocaust was not even that long ago.
Nope.
But there, for somebody like Wagner, who lived in the late 1800s, who none of us have a personal emotional attachment with, you might love Rheingold or, you know, Die Valkyrie or all these operas or whatever, but you're not emotionally attached to Wagner the man.
No.
And so it's easy for us to say, that's some pretty cool music, but man, that guy's awful. Nobody's getting royalties when you buy if you buy an album of Wagner's music, the royalties are just going to whoever recorded it. There's no Wagner estate cashing in. It seems safer to simultaneously enjoy his music or enjoy the murderer Carlo Gesualdo while simultaneously acknowledging how terrible they are and just moving on. It's these figures like Michael Jackson, or if I came out with some crazy salacious story about George Washington, it hits closer to home, even though that was over 200 years ago, because it's emotionally meaningful for a lot of people.
We have a relationship with them.
And I had a relationship with Michael Jackson. And a lot of people did.
And a very formative one that was a positive influence on your life. So when you start seeing the cracks in that facade, it can be really, really jarring for somebody. And really hard. Like, I don't wrestle with this topic as much as you do, because I didn't care. But I never got into Michael Jackson
that much. But that's just specifically with Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Take one of your favorite artists. It's one thing to find out they've been, you know, they're mean to a waiter. But you found out they killed a guy, or you found out that they're human trafficking.
Yeah.
That's what some people I think are dealing with the Michael Jackson rumors.
Because
it's one of the rumors, allegations, like truths, whatever.
Sure.
It's one of the most beloved people paired up with one of the most heinous things you could do.
For sure. And I think that because of Michael Jackson's upbringing, a lot of people like want to root for him because he deserved better. Even though he had a blessed life in some regard, psychologically, he had a bad hand from the start.
Yeah.
That, you know, it would be very hard for anybody in a normal circumstances to overcome the childhood he had. And then you surround that person with a bunch of people enabling them and a lot of money and access. And that's going to lead down a weird road no matter what. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there have been musicians that I've stopped listening to more recently because of their political views, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say goodbye to them, but I can't do it. I can't. There are some musicians, I'm not going to mention them, but like that I can't look at the same way. And it's a shame. It's a drag and it makes me sad, but that's okay. It changed. Their personal point of view changed how I see their music. And I think that that's okay. And that's, I think of that as growth. Like you can keep changing and keep growing over time. But
I wonder if there's something about the universality of somebody like Michael Jackson's music. It's not specific. They're not stories in the lyrics. It's broad topics.
Sure.
Like love songs about nobody, kind of, for example, Heal the World. If you heard that, you know, I don't know, like Joni Mitchell, her songs are all seem so like personal or somebody
or like
that.
A Taylor Swift, her songs are all like,
her songs are autobiographical.
Admittedly.
If you found out that Taylor Swift had done something that was like a real forsaking of her values and who she is as a person, that would make all that music a lie. Whereas Michael Jackson's music, when they do, now Man in the Mirror maybe actually is related to this, but if you take some song like The Way You Make Me Feel, like that song doesn't have any meaning that is compromised by finding out heinous stuff about him, right? PYT, kind of, I love that song, but that song is gross now, but I still love it. But like, it doesn't hit quite as hard because it's this broad, like people are listening to the beat, they're listening to the sound of his voice almost like it's an instrument, and they're listening to lyrics that don't really,
it is,
you don't want to dissect and get
he
inside
was
his brain.
Just a vehicle for delivering good songwriting, and that's why you like him, because the songs are well written. Like you could put PYT, have the Cyndi Lauper sing it, and it would still be a great song.
That would actually be really good,
right? So like you, it's not the song, it's the instrument that's performing the song. No one's going to get mad at a bass guitar. No one's going to get call a flute problematic. I mean, you did in a previous episode, but that's fine.
Yeah. The flout, though.
The flout is problematic. Yeah. But I think that's the tricky thing about Michael Jackson is you do view him as a means to an end of really great songwriting. That's why I say if there's any culpability, it lays with the people surrounding him as well. They used him. He was broken and they used him. And he used other people in turn. And that was the cycle of his life. And it's really, really sad. For me, when I listen to Michael Jackson songs that make me happy, I have a hard time dichotomously balancing the happiness I feel with the sadness that was his life. And that's why I struggle with listening to Michael Jackson. All the allegations aside, that doesn't help for me. Like, I know that that's abhorrent and you can't even touch that as part of like human darkness. But it's really like, how dare I be so happy at this song when I know the torture. I just think of Michael Jackson alone at night trying to fall asleep and how tortured he must have been as a human.
Yeah.
And that like really takes the joy out of some of these songs for me.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of empathy that I think some people on one side of this won't even want to extend to him.
Well, right? I mean, it's hard to extend that empathy. I think that people that harm children are low, but you have to understand that no one wants to be a pedophile. No one like wakes up today and says like, you know what I'm going to do today? Like, they don't want to do that. They know it's sick behavior, right? But they do it because they're broken and maybe broken beyond repair and enabled. So their brokenness continues. But no one, like, I'll stand by that. No one wakes up saying, I'm going to like,
they certainly
mess
didn't
with some
start
kids
out that
today.
Way.
No.
Yeah. It's,
it is a sickness. And I have empathy for that.
And we can still have laws that make it illegal to act on that, right?
But I can think it's gross and abhorrent, but I can have empathy for it.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I don't know where I'm at with the whole holding everybody else that he knew kind of culpable. Like I mentioned, songwriter Rod Temperton. I mentioned Quincy Jones, producer. Specific people, I cannot say, well, this person knew and chose to do nothing. Somebody probably did know, and those people are culpable. But there are also a lot of people in that world that maybe didn't. Did the bass player on Thriller have any idea? Probably not.
Probably not.
Did the bass player on the History album after the allegations were made? No, probably still not, but maybe, right? Yeah. Did Quincy Jones know? I don't know. Like, I'm not willing to cast broad blame on his family and the collaborators, but certainly in their hearts, they know, right? They know things we don't know. That doesn't mean that we can legally hold them accountable.
We can't, but it just, for me, what bothers me is it's not often part of the conversation. It's like the people that worked at the Neverland Ranch. You know, the security guards bringing these kids in, like that's just
or like
just
Weinstein's like assistant who will walk away and leave the door locked.
Like it's
right?
just it's not often part of the conversation. And it's very convenient for us to place blame. I don't like to paint Michael Jackson as a victim, but I'm doing it again. He's an easy person to place blame on, but there are a lot of other people. If you do infantilize Michael Jackson, think of him as an adolescent that had like stunted development, which I do. Where were the adults in Michael Jackson's life telling him this isn't appropriate behavior?
Yeah.
There must have been someone, right? And if there wasn't, that's pretty sad.
Well, if there wasn't, that's part of how
it's
got in this.
It's all so sad. It's really so sad.
So I don't know. I mean, we're obviously having this conversation.
And you can use it or not use it. But I think like it's important to say stuff out loud.
We don't have an answer is the...
No.
We don't. And those of you who are going to write in and hate us because of the bad things we're saying, just understand, like, we don't have the answer. Like, I feel pretty sure he did these bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of these other people do bad things. That doesn't mean we're right, but we're observing the evidence and we're trying to grapple with, I specifically as the musician, am trying to grapple with my teaching, with my own stylistic homages in a song I'm writing. Like, I have to grapple with this and I'm doing the best I can, and there is no right answer.
No,
you can like problematic stuff, but you gotta acknowledge that. Like, I don't know, what's our takeaway, Nicole? Like, you acknowledge things, but still,
for me the takeaway is always this idea that we are capable of non-binary thinking. We are capable of dichotomous thought, that you can hold in your hands two conflicting points of view and find peace with them. I can appreciate Michael Jackson's music and think he is a broken monster of a human. And there's no other explanation. It can just be both things. Full stop. Right? It is. It is both things.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
I think that's true. And
it just sucks.
I will say, I do have to say, though, there is different levels in which that can be okay.
Mm-hmm.
People can set those levels for themselves, right? Are you willing to spend money on a Michael Jackson album that would give more money to his estate? Let's say he was still alive, he would actually be getting more money. Mm-hmm. Is that crossing a line? Do you want to download it illegally and play it for people? Is that not? I, as a professor, have a platform.
Sure.
So I have to be careful. We have a podcast, which is a platform. We have to be careful. Also, we can't just play it and be like, what's the big deal? I just want to play Michael Jackson. No, we probably have to engage with the conversation.
You do. Right? And I think that is just showing respect to the work, that you have to do both. Like when I teach Freud, I'm not saying like Freud was a great guy. He wasn't.
Right.
But his theories, some of them really did more than shaped, like absolutely solidified how we view psychology present day in America. And it can be that, and that he was a misogynist, and that he was addicted to coke, and that he was kind of an asshole to women. It can be both things.
Sorry, parenthetically,
yes.
He was addicted to coke, but that's back in the era when Coca-Cola actually had coke.
Yes, everyone was into
so was
it.
He addicted to Coca-Cola and also cocaine?
He used cocaine quite a bit as a way to delve into subconscious exploration.
That's right. I think the retort to that, though, that could be levied at me using Baby Be Mine is a example of a song, and you using Freud is, but there's so many good songs. There's so many influential thinkers. Could you not? And the answer is yes, I could not.
Oh, I couldn't. I
you have
to
talk about Freud, right? Yeah. It's like talking about American history without talking about Washington.
Like, you kind of have to.
Yeah. You know, I could not, and sometimes I choose not to, but eventually you have to this music is still out there. It's still important to me and important to music history, right? So I think it's easier to dismiss some indie artist no one's heard of who turns out to be a monster as just, okay, well, I guess I'm never talking about them in class.
Yeah.
That's not the same
thing.
And
then also, like, you have to reference time and place of this discovery. Like, culture has changed. Like, post Me Too, we saw a lot of people get canceled and people not selling tickets and not selling albums because of allegations that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Michael Jackson's story would play differently in 2024 than it did in 2019. You know,
or even
just
if
because
it was all the same, but he was still alive and it was still an active conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But it came a lot of this. We always had these allegations, but really we didn't deep dive into it until after he passed, I think. And he's not.
We didn't, at least. Yeah.
And I think that that matters because we can look at it a little bit more objectively. It's hard to look at Kevin Spacey. It's hard to look at R. Kelly or even Lizzo allegations or other, like Ryan Adams or other musicians that had like kind of trickier Arcade Fire. There's so many.
Not all of them in the same category.
But in this like post Me Too era that we are holding people to account more.
Right.
We are seeing repercussions of that, financial repercussions for current artists. So we're getting sidetracked. Sidetracked on the sidetrack.
Yeah.
What else is new? Never Mind the Music is hosted by me, Nicole Vatcher, and Mark Papany. Mark also produces our podcast. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and review.
Let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all the major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we'll answer your burning questions.
Thanks for listening.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.